Just arrived at the Lewis Light Festival and of course greeted by absolute pitch black, so much so that all my wires are tangled and I can't see what I'm doing. Good news though, it is a starry night and not a cloud in the sky, which hopefully means we should be able to do some good stargazing.
And I was told there was a man in the moon. Maybe he's hiding.
But before I did any of that, I ran into Graham Festenstein.
And I'm a lighting designer, and I'm also the festival director for Lewis Light. From my perspective, our main thing is the glowworm. So we've been working with a scientist from Sussex University who's researching into the impact of artificial light on glowworms, and that's inspired us to do this installation.
This is when we walked through, there were a series of sort of hawthorn bushes, and they've got lots of little green lights hanging from them.
That's right, yes, and the green, we've been working with Alan to look at developing these so they actually approximate glowworms. But what we've done is we've put the light installation at the bottom of the hill, and the idea here is to get people who maybe don't come out and do this kind of thing to come along, look at the lights, and then they can keep coming up here, and then they can come and look at the other activities, the astronomy and the bats and the moths, and come and enjoy being out in the darkness.
It's funny because you never really think about going out to enjoy the darkness, do you? But I decided to face my fear of witches biting my toes off and head into the night to see what I could see.
Is everyone hear that? Mm. So that's picking up a tree pigeon. So that's us finding our dinner if we're a bat.
There were no bats, sadly. What you can hear is actually a demo. Further along, though, I finally found what I was after.
Looking at the craters in the moon.
The craters
go
down there.
Yeah. Like a telescope looking up at the moon at the moment. We just had it on the Andromeda galaxy.
That telescope's as big as the sort of cannon you might fire somebody out of.
The Light Festival's doing dark sky friendly installations, and all the things here are really low powered, and I think the moon's putting out more light than the Light Festival at the moment, so right now it's fantastic. We've got lots of people looking through the telescope and enjoying the sights of the telescope of woe.
Dan Oakley from the South Downs National Park, and he calls it the telescope of woe because, well, everyone who looks down it makes that noise of adoration. I joined the so-called moon queue, determined not to go whoa, but the first thing out of my mouth,
oh wow,
classic.
It's like the moon's got acne, isn't it? Definitely get a much better idea of what Buzz Aldrin and everyone might have felt when they landed on the moon.
Yeah.
And I wasn't the only one enamoured.
It looked fascinating. It just looked like a load of soap bubbles that popped on a bar of soap. It was amazing.
I guess you've never seen the moon in that way before.
No. No, absolutely not. It's not made of cheese. That's all I can say.
Did you look as well?
I did, and I thought it looked like cheese. Kind of Italian creamy gorgonzola cheese.
No wonder Wallace and Gromit wanted to go to the moon.
Just a glass of red wine, I'll be quite happy now. Cheese and wine party.
Although the moon illuminated the landscape around us, it was clear to me that this would normally have been pretty darn dark. And that's even though we're right on the cusp of the park, where dark skies reach towns and cities. Behind me, it was pitch black, not a fleck of light on the horizon. In front of me, well, rays everywhere. But it was more than that. The cities glowed. They bathed the night sky with an aurora. And this is what Dan Oakley kind of set out to change.
When we became a national park, part of that process was to consult with all the residents, talk about the qualities of the park. And one of those special qualities was tranquility and dark skies. And so when we looked at our management plan, we noticed that our skies were getting brighter. So we decided to do something about it and start this dark skies project.
So what classifies as a dark sky?
To be classified as a dark sky, you need to really be able to see the Milky Way with the naked eye. And the other good thing to see as well is the Andromeda Galaxy. If you can see those two things, then they call that an intrinsic dark sky.
You took something like, was it 3,000 measurements over a few years, every night?
Almost, it was more like 30,000. And the park is 1,600 square kilometres, plus the outside bits. That's quite a few nights. So we had a special sky quality monitor made up for us that can record at time intervals. So we just set it at 5 seconds and I just drove around the downs and recorded it over all those nights and all those cold mornings.
Are you naturally a night owl, or was this a bit of a strain?
Well, I thought I always was, but I really do think I am now. So getting up in the morning is really difficult.
It wasn't just about taking measurements, though, and saying, Bob's your uncle, we qualify, woo! Actually, Dan had to get the council on board to change their street lighting too.
Well, they were coming to the end of all their street lights, so we all remember those horrible orange sodium lights, and they were really optically inefficient because they threw a lot of their light upwards, and that's that upward light that creates all the sky glow. So if you look at Lewis, you can see all that sky glow coming out now. When they came to doing the street lights, is they put up more optically efficient street lights which point the light downwards, and because that light's not going upwards and sideways, means the sky gets better. So, you know, a lot of thanks goes to them, really.
It's a shame, because the reason why I came here tonight was to hopefully see the Milky Way with the naked eye for the first time. But alas, that's it's not my night to be, I don't think, because that's the idea of the Dark Skies Project, be able to see the Milky Way with the naked eye, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, tonight, unfortunately, the whim of the weather and the moon. But when you can see the Milky Way, I mean, you know you're in a dark sky site, and you'll just smile when you see it. And if you go to some really dark places, you can start to make out some of the structure, some of the dark lines, some of the dust, and that just elevates it even further, because then you get a real sense you're in a galaxy. And that, you know, again, that feels like you're looking at your house, your home, in a real good way.
Dan Oakley and Graham Festenstein there, gazing into the dark with Greer Jackson. Have you ever seen the Milky Way, Kat?
I have. I've certainly seen it here in the UK, but the most amazing stars I've ever seen was I went backpacking with one of my sisters in the Algonquin National Park.
I thought you were
going
to say I went to a rock concert for a minute and saw Tina Turner or something.
No. Yeah. I went out backpacking in the Algonquin National Park in Canada with my sister, and the stars were just incredible, except it was so cold we hardly got out of the tents at night. It's absolutely freezing.
Absolutely stunning.
It's an amazing thing to see, and we should bring it back.
Now,